Chapter 53. The Master of Echo Hold. Gerund gripped the reins of the horse, walking in front of it, while Volney sat behind Jen in the saddle to keep him from falling off. 2 days after they had passed through the gates of Elder Lurimora, on their way north, the smooth, even road that led their steps to the holy city had sunk completely beneath the earth, the city bidding farewell to its visitors and declining to invite more. A pleasant grassy track remained in its stead, awaiting seed, sun, and time to clog it with tree and bush. They progressed little the first 2 days from Elder Lurimora, with Jen tied, semi-conscious, to the horse and the other two afoot. By the third day, Gerund guessed that the warding protection of Elder Lurimora would no longer avail them, and they left the road whenever the rocky, mountainous terrain permitted to hide from unfriendly eyes. Jaren's heart eased as Jen gradually improved. The farther they pushed north the third day, the more his pale skin regained its colour and tone. His eyes opened more frequently, and his posture straightened from its pain-induced constriction. He talked only once to inform them that the Shalane was well north and east of them, and that catching up with them would be impossible if they followed her party's exact route.
"Our best chance," he suggested weakly, "is to go north and intercept them when they turn west."
The fourth day saw them passing through a tight valley between two pine-covered mountains, the trail paralleling a deep stream bordered by a thick mass of shoulder-high bushes that covered the entire valley floor with long, thin leaves. The sound of deer and moose crashing through the undergrowth brought their hands to weapons for fear of an Uyumark ambush. By midday, Jen hopped down from the saddle and walked for the rest of the afternoon. The look on the Shalane's former protector's face worried Gerund. Jen often hid his emotions, but he was clearly anguished now. Volney tried conversation with him, but Jen was not amenable. Gerund judged it best to steer clear. As night approached, they encountered a massive, flat-topped boulder that afforded them a view downstream and a defensible place to sleep. After tying the horse to a tree near the stream and a mound of thick grass, they climbed the grey stone, its sides roughened by pale green lichen, wind and water. The mountains on the east and west blocked their view of the sunset, shadows and skies quickly deepening to black. The soft trickle of water and light woodland breezes relaxed tense muscles as they ate their poor fare. Gerund rose as they finished their meal and crossed to Jen, unbuckling Aldredin's sword.
"Here, Jen, I think you're fit enough to use it."
Jen took it wordlessly, lying back with a sword across his chest and falling directly asleep. Volney cast a worried look at Gerund, who shrugged and said,
"I'll take first watch."
Gerund awoke Volney some hours later and slept little. A bitter chill descended on the valley near dawn, pulling Gerund permanently from sleep. He stretched to try to dispel the cold, noting a light frost that had settled on the leaves and grass. Jen had relieved Volney from his watch and now sat at the edge of the rock to watch the indistinct movements of large animals, wandering slowly and concealed through the bushes and trees. During one of his sleepless bouts during the night, Gerund found Jen silently practicing sword forms, no doubt limbering his body and strengthening muscles weak from disuse. While he looked much better than he had 4 days ago, the indisposition he had suffered darkened his face and hollowed his cheeks. Gerund stood and Jen nodded to him, coming to his feet. Jen nudged Volney with his boot.
"Let's go."
"But it's still dark," Volney grumbled, one eye looking heavenward through the barest of slits.
"The valley walls hold back the day, but it is broken,"
Jen prodded, beginning his descent down the rock.
"Long days and short nights are what we need now if we're to catch the Shalane's party and have enough food."
Gerund helped Volney up. They collected their belongings and descended the rock, numb fingers aching as they gripped the cold, rough stone. They ate on the trail, the path switchbacking down a series of wooded ridges that sloped down to an open plain. Near midday, they stopped where the trees parted to show them a fertile grassland stretching north, a low line of hills forming its eastern edge. The plain, bathed in the warm morning sun, stretched west for several miles from the hills, ending in an abyss at the shard's edge.
"We should cover some good distance down there,"
Gerund speculated.
"There could be Uyumark out there,"
Volney inserted less enthusiastically.
"They must have left at least a company of them to cover the road."
"No,
Jen disagreed. If they were going to attack, they would have done so in the valley we just left. They have the Shalane's trail and have marched north and east in pursuit. We should be at our ease for at least a week.
And how is the Shalane?
Gerund asked, hoping to keep Jen talking.
What do you feel?
She is well.
Will you let us know of any change in her condition?
Gerund asked.
Of course.
Volney patted Jen on the shoulder.
I am certainly glad to have you back. I'm sure the Shalane misses you. I think she was very fond of you. The first mother, too.
Jen's dark look took Gerund aback.
Listen, both of you, Jen said, stopping them under the shade of an ancient pine. If we can intercept the Shalane's party, we will shadow it for as long as we can, but not approach. If we can get through the portal and back to Rugoth, you must split from me and seek what fortune you can. I thank you for coming for me, though I would rather you had stayed with the Shalane and let me die. I have failed the Shalane badly.
He paused, mastering some emotion.
You should despise me, and so should she.
You are too hard on yourself,
Volney exclaimed.
No, Volney. Gerund understands, and you will too in time. I have but one purpose for my life, and that is to see the Shalane safe and happy if I can. Because I tried to kill Shertan, I will be an outlaw forever, hunted and on the run. The two of you may share a similar fate. You owe me no allegiance, but swear this to me, that no matter what circumstances you find yourselves in, you will never cease to work for the Shalane's cause, and I do not just mean her physical protection, to which you are already sworn. I mean her comfort, her pleasure, her happiness. I doubt either of you know the tenth of her suffering, some, now, of my infliction. Swear that you will aid me in relieving it, even if I fall.
Gerund did understand Jen's pain, but understood Volney's point as well. Something was off about Jen's emotions, something Gerund couldn't quite place. He was ashamed, but not necessarily of losing the protectorship. Regardless, Gerund would support him.
I swear it, Gerund promised,
Volney following suit. Jen thanked them and pressed on, eyes calm and step falling more lightly now. Gerund's mind was packed, full of questions he hadn't the courage to ask their severe swordmate. After he and Volney had taken their oaths, Jen kept well ahead of them on the trail and did not seek company. What conversation he offered tended only to the practical, all matters of emotion, conjecture, and opinion vouchsafed quietly within himself. During the next several days, they found evidence of the departed Uyumak as they hiked quickly across the open plain. The damp ash of old cook fires, crumbling feces, and abundant tracks all indicated a hasty movement to the east to intercept the Shalane and her companions. As a consequence, Gerund worried little about any immediate encounter with the Uyumak, and with Jen's blessing they traded stealth for speed. The nights upon the plain grew colder, and what food they had did little to assuage their hunger, though Gerund noted that Volney was the only one who complained openly. Only the horse fed well on the abundant grasses of the field.
I believe they have lost or abandoned the horses, Jen informed the others near midday, 3 days out on the plain.
How can you tell that? Volney asked.
Gerund answered for Jen.
Their rate of travel.
Yes, Jen confirmed.
They have turned northwest and are moving very slowly. I think their enemies or harsh terrain dictate their path now. They do not travel in a straight line and they stop frequently.
We must hurry to catch them, Volney said, face scrunched in worry. I know that Shertan swore he would kill you, and he would likely do the same to us, but they could not but welcome our presence if their circumstances are dire.
We will help as we can,
Gerund assured him, patting him on the back.
And there is another problem, Jen added. I think they are on the opposite side of the Dunnock River Canyon. If we cannot cross at Dunnock Falls Bridge, then we will have to turn west on Echo Hold Road and meet them back where the caravan first ascended into the mountains. We will likely outstrip them. But if they don't hurry out of the mountains, the weather will be a more threatening danger than the Uyumak.
As if to mark his point, for the next 2 days their view of the steadily nearing far-reach mountains was obscured by bouts of cold rain falling from low clouds to feed the yellowing grasses at their feet. Moisture soaked into their clothes, boots and hair, everything a sopping, dripping mess. When the sun finally splashed upon the left side of their faces one late afternoon, they stopped and stripped what they comfortably could to let the articles dry in the weak warmth. The next day they started their grueling ascent into the mountains. Damp pines thickened as they hiked the foothills through gullies and depressions. They were forced to slaughter the horse for meat, divvying up the remainder of the scanty supplies among them. While difficult, the trail rewarded them for their efforts. The maples and aspens blossomed in bright yellow clumps amid a field of dark evergreens, though many had cast over half of their foliage to the ground. Cloudy mountain streams, swelled temporarily by the autumn rain, complicated fording in several spots, forcing them to lose time hunting for shallower waters or bridges formed by deadfall. By late afternoon, they ascended a steep ridge, hoping for a view of the Echo Road, which their northward track would force them to cross. Clouds, a deep blue-grey, adorned the sky in patternless clumps, a stiff wind pushing them northwest. The trees thinned as harder rock near the top of the ridge denied the roots an easy purchase into the earth, scraggly bushes and grasses thrusting up unhealthily from shallow cracks dotting the pale brown rock. Jen stopped, raising his hand to signal his companions to hold up. He dropped quickly to the ground. Gerund and Volney followed suit, crawling to catch up with Jen.
"I heard thumping on the wind," Jen reported quietly. "Let's approach the ridge cautiously and low."
Gerund was grateful that Jen increasingly took command, thankful to see his sure, experienced manner taking hold again. The three of them got on their bellies and worked their way gradually upward. Volney noisily sucked air through his teeth, and Gerund shot him a cautionary look. Volney grimaced, picking a large sliver out of his hand. Gerund resumed his climb. He recognized the necessity for stealth, but his knees and elbows complained at the bruising they received as they clambered over the hard stone. At the top of the ridge, a convenient group of boulders allowed them to walk at a crouch and peer at the scene below them. The convergence of three ridges formed a roughly circular meadow. A lazy river ran on the eastern edge of the glade, a broken, uneven road running along its banks. In places, the road disappeared completely, overtaken by water and tall grass. Another road branched from that one, running west, dodging out of sight behind the trees on the far side of the clearing. To their dismay, nearly 200 Uyumak encamped about the intersection. They milled about aimlessly, an obscenity squirming in a womb of alpine beauty.
"The road branching west leads to Echo Hold," Jen explained, leaning back against the rock. "If we can't find a way around, we will have to fight our way through."
"But that's 200 Uyumak," Volney exclaimed.
"I know you have Aldredin's sword, Jen, but..."
"Calm yourself, Volney,"
Jen admonished curtly,
"and speak quietly. They hear much better than you think. I hope we can be clever enough to avoid such a confrontation. This ridge intersects with the one at the far side, and on the other side of that is the road. It may be possible to climb over the ridge and get onto the road behind them. We may have to deal with a patrol or two, but the mountain road will be much more defensible than this open field. If either of you have a better idea, I'm open to suggestion."
No suggestions forthcoming, Jen led them carefully back down the incline until they were hidden from the view of the creatures in the bowl on the other side. Rather than risk stepping on loose rocks or branches due to speed, Jen set a careful pace toward the ridge intersecting perpendicularly to the one they followed. The rushing water and wind provided excellent cover, and Jen wanted the aid of evening shadows before they started their ascent.
"It's too steep," Volney complained when they arrived at the perilous slope, adorned with stunted half-green pines leaning at wild angles. The gnarled trees stretched knotted branches into the wind.
Gerund put his hand on Volney's shoulder. The tall Rugothian looked sick.
"It will be challenging," Gerund affirmed, "but I think we can do it. Be careful not to break any of those branches. It will sound like thunder splitting the air."
By the time Gerund finished his sentence, Jen had started the difficult traverse, using the abundant cracks and gnarled tree trunks to propel himself upward. Gerund followed his example, Volney coming awkwardly after. Every pebble knocked loose and every twig snapped from a dangling branch brought a displeased look from Jen. Near the top, they were exposed to the bowl below, but as they pulled Volney up the rest of the way, they exhaled in relief. They had not been detected. The Uyumak milled about as purposelessly as before. They rested for a moment out of sight behind a thick, squat cedar. The opposite side of the ridge proved more daunting than they hoped. A sheer drop greeted them,
the road running along a tree-lined lane that on its far side dropped even farther into a canyon hazy and shadowy in the weakening light.
"How do I get down to the road from here?" Gerund asked, peering over the edge to search for handholds.
Jen pointed to a stately pine growing close to the edge a few yards up the ridge.
"We use the tree. It will be noisy, but it must be half a league from the main body. As long as we're reasonably silent, we should get down undetected."
What looked and sounded easy at a distance proved difficult once they surveyed the tree up close and faced the task. No branch thick enough to support their weight stretched near the perilous drop-off at their toes. They stared at the closest limb for several moments as if willing it to thicken and grow closer. Jen breathed out, eyes focused on the tree.
"Follow me. It will hurt, but it's the only way."
Gerund shook his head. This was foolhardy. He opened his mouth to say as much when Jen leapt from the edge into the mass of coarse needles and branches. The top of the tree swayed as if hit by a hearty gust of wind. Bark and detritus rained down through the boughs, but in short order Jen worked himself to the ground, a mass of scratches covering his arms and sticky pine gum besmirching his clothes.
"Oh, look, that was easy,"
Volney said, voice heavy with sarcasm.
"You better go next," Gerund prodded him, "while the example is still fresh."
Volney looked like he would be sick, but after screwing up his face, he issued a determined grunt and heaved his massive frame into the air. The tree got the worst of the impact, a branch snapping under his weight and echoing loudly through the air. Gerund swore, shaking his head as his lumbering friend wove himself downward through the branches like a sack of rocks. Uyumark drums pounded a frantic new rhythm. Gerund executed the leap before Volney hit the ground. No one needed to be told to run. The road lay in interconnected grey bricks before them, wide enough for a carriage or wagon to comfortably travel without fear of the edge. A thick stone balustrade provided a barrier between the road and the precipice, though wind and rain had eroded the support from underneath it, sending sections tumbling into the canyon in years past. The brick, too, proved uneven. Depressions and loose upthrust sections sought out their boot tips in the approaching dark, sending the young men stumbling. Behind, the sound of claws scrabbling on the brick neared.
"Go on ahead," Jen ordered. "I will slow them down." "We should fight together," Gerund protested.
"I'm not going to fight," Jen answered, drawing his sword and felling one of the large trees along the lane with a single stroke so that it fell onto the roadway with a tremendous crash, effectively blocking the path.
"I'll down a few more. Now go!"
The sprint up the incline strained burning muscles already weary from travel. Despite urgency, the arrival of dark forced Gerund and Volney to slow their pace.
"Let's stop a moment and wait for Jen," Volney suggested.
"I concur," Gerund said.
He leaned against the canyon wall, breathing hard, hands on hips. They walked in circles to keep loose, spitting bitter bile over the balustrade and into the abyss. The wind had died, a thin mist gathering as a damp chill set in. After several moments, Jen arrived, resheathing his sword.
"That should slow them down for a while. Let's move. I don't think we will have any sleep tonight. Look for any good places to hide as we go."
They continued their march upward as the night deepened. The air thinned. Gerund struggled to catch his breath, need and sheer will pulling each leg up and placing it before the other. His companions fared little better. They needed rest and a decent meal. The road worsened as they climbed higher. Complete sections of brick went missing or were kicked aside into rough piles. Larger sections of the roadway had fallen into the canyon, forcing them to scoot along the edge of the canyon wall on what little ground remained. At length, they arrived at a section completely fallen through. Two sturdy planks laid side by side spanned the 15-foot gap. Jen walked across unconcernedly. Gerund stopped and stared down. Certain death waited in the unfathomable dark drop. His shaky legs needed a little rest before attempting the crossing. Volney backed away from the precipice as if it were a poisonous viper.
"Just walk across at a nice even pace," Jen advised. "The longer you think about it, the scarier it will become. It's just like walking down the middle of a passageway."
"Except for the plummeting to your death part," Volney whined.
Summoning his courage and stretching his legs, Gerund struck out, crossing the abyss with only a little wobble at the end. Volney's unsteady attempt, however, sent Gerund's heart into his throat. Volney shook from head to toe,
stepping forward slowly with eyes riveted to the board as if looking for a rusty nail that he might step on. His arms flailed at his sides, flapping this way and that as his body leaned precariously in every direction. As soon as he could, Jen extended his hand and pulled him over. "My family lives on a plane," Volney explained, defensively.
"Should we pull the planks over?" Gerund asked. "The hunters could make the jump, but none of the other Uymark could cross until they found a replacement."
Jen opened his mouth, but before he could speak, a green light bathed them all in an eerie luminescence. Hands went to weapons, but they could only faintly make out a figure, sitting on the balustrade holding a recently unshuttered lantern, fueled by a translucent green glob.
"Leave my pretty planks where they are, if you please," a man's voice instructed them. "I went through such work to put them there."
"Show yourself," Jen ordered. "Are you friend or foe?"
"Relax, my young gentlemen. I assure you that I have no love for the Uymark. But you need not fear them if you hurry along with me. I have a safe place to stay. Indeed, some have said it is the safest place ever built by the hands of men. As for my name, you may know me as the Master of Echo Hold at present."
Gerund didn't like this stranger's carefree tone.
"Is it close?"
"Yes, young one. Come, there are Uymark charging up the road from the other direction as well. If we do not make the drawbridge, we shall have an unpleasant time of it. Just follow the lamp."
He stood from where he sat on the balustrade and started up the hill at a quick, soldierly march. He was tall and powerfully built, a thick mane of hair falling a little past his shoulders. He sang as he walked. The song, while cheerful in lyric, he sung in a melancholy fashion, as if the Master of Echo Hold regretted the words.
"My light it beckons, my light it calls, it shines and warms on whom it falls. Come now, travellers, come and rest, within my light a welcome guest. For where it shines all cares will flee, the restful glow of eternity. Away your burden, cast shoes from feet, let eyelids fall, and summon sleep."
Gerund felt ill at ease, sharing worried looks with his companions. The farther along they travelled, the more the bones of long-dead Uymark littered the road. Their new companion took no heed of them, pulverizing the brittle remnants of their enemies with powerful steps from heavy boots. Jen and his friends tried with little success to avoid them, the snapping sounds destroying all stealth.
"This abominable racket will get us killed," Volney complained.
The man ahead of them chuckled.
"Quite the opposite, sir. The Uymark cannot bear to hear the cracking of their own bones. Didn't you know? Besides, knowing your position can hardly help them now. Another turn around the bend and you will see your rest for this evening. All these years have not lessened my wonder at its majesty."
The last bit of canyon wall gave way as they curved around a steep protrusion. Before them sat Echo Hold, a mighty fortress of men bathed in moonlight. The castle was built upon an upthrust of rock that rose from the canyon floor to the level of the road hundreds of feet up. The rock was large enough for the castle, a small city, and a large terraced area for farming. The castle was built of a dingy white stone, and while the walls were not tall, rising only 25 feet, they were so thick as to defy any penetration. The keep rose higher than the walls, soaring upward into the moonlit night. Such was the elevation that low clouds floated beneath the level of the castle, giving it the strange sensation of movement. The gap from the canyon road to the outcropping of rock on which the castle stood stretched over 100 feet, a drawbridge spanning the distance. Two more of the green lanterns hung against opposite sides of a gate built into the wall that was wide enough to admit two carriages side by side. Their would-be host did not stop to let them admire the scene, but kept up his steady pace amongst the piles of bones.
"Who killed all these Uymark?" Gerund asked.
The Master of Echo Hold turned his head to the side briefly, revealing a noble profile and a closely cropped beard.
"I have killed them. Seems they would learn to avoid this place, but I never tire of teaching the lesson, however thick-headed the students. Come, it appears we may have some trouble after all."
Squinting beyond the lantern, Gerund could discern 3 Uymark hunters loitering along the road near the bridge, tentatively examining their surroundings and the lamps upon the walls across the ravine. Gerund stiffened as the hunters turned from the bridge
and approached the stranger and his lamp at an easy pace.
"Stay still," the man commanded them, halting himself. "They only have eyes for the lantern."
The Uyumak approached, twitching eyes riveted to the ghoulish light. The scales on their skin turned to match the colours within the circle of the lantern's glow. Gerund fingered his sword hilt. The man appeared perfectly at ease as the creatures approached, their clawed hands reaching reverently for the light. Just as a hunter touched the lamp, the man shuttered it. Gerund found himself blinded by the sudden absence of light, and he and his companions drew swords at the sound of scuffle, but before his eyes could adjust, the light broke forth anew. The three Uyumak lay dead upon the ground, eyes wide, without a visible mark of violence upon them.
"The light attracts them," their leader explained, voice fresh and energetic. "Such foolish creatures, really."
"Why do you hang lanterns by the gate, then?" Gerund asked. "What if they came in numbers? Are the walls guarded?"
"You have not heard what I said, or understood what you just witnessed. The Uyumak only have eyes for the lanterns. They are quite insensible when entranced. As for guarding the walls, I am quite alone here. I am happy now to have you as guests, so that I can at last report the discharge of my obligations. Come forward. We shall enter, and I will retract the bridge, so that you can slumber without worry tonight. I am sure your road has been long and toilsome."
The bridge was also made of stone. It was not lowered from the wall, but appeared to retract horizontally into a space beneath the castle. The grounds around and within the castle grew wild, with weeds and thorny shrubs poking through even more piles of bones at the base of the wall. Their host removed the lanterns and signalled for them to follow him through the gate and into the tunnel that ran beneath the wall. He again hummed his song to himself. Geren's skin crawled.